Is This China's Century? An article by Roderick C. Meredith. With about one-fifth of the world's entire population, the nation of China remains an enigma to many in the West. Thousands of years ago, China was an imperial nation with great ambitions of regional and even world domination. Though it was wracked by war and economic catastrophe throughout the 20th century, the opening decades of the 21st century are seeing new attention paid to China as an economic and political superpower in the making. What does your Bible reveal about China's future and its place in the end time prophecy? The answer may surprise you. 20 years ago, when financier Philip Schaeffer organized an investors' conference titled, quote, The Chinese Century, From Wall Street to the Great Wall, few had heard the term the Chinese Century as a description of that mysterious nation's ascent to a new level of world power. Today, with the United States in rapid decline and investors such as Warren Buffett openly proclaiming the 21st century as China's century, many more are taking notice. With the nation of China working hard to overtake the West in both economic and military power, is it soon destined to dominate the world in the way that America and Britain were able to dominate the last century? Will this 21st century, in fact, be China's century? With its estimated 1.4 billion citizens, China is the most populous nation on Earth. It has by far the largest financial reserves of any nation, now estimated at more than US $3.5 trillion. Its military and naval forces are increasingly being developed. China watchers have noted that the nation has plotted a deliberate course in which it joins economic growth to its military power. China's average annual growth of roughly 9% over the last 20 years has led to a tenfold increase in per capita gross domestic products and a 21-fold increase in purchasing power for military expenditure. So, China is slowly but surely working to transform its armed forces into a full-spectrum military able to project Chinese power around the world. Economic growth. China now has the second largest economy in the world, trailing only the United States of America, and it would be the third largest if the European Union member states are counted together as one block. Wherever you live, if you use a computer or a smartphone, there is a very good chance that it was made in China. China's Ministry of Industrial and Information Technology reported that in the first 11 months of 2012 alone, Chinese factories made more than 1 billion mobile phones and more than 314 million computers, 116 million monitors, and 114 million television sets. This does not include the estimated 120 million tablet PCs made in China last year. China's global presence in the automotive industry also continues to grow. Decades ago, made in China was a code word for shoddy and cheap workmanship, but no more. Chinese industry is now at the forefront of the world economy as nations like Vietnam and Thailand take on the role of cut-rate competitors. Today in China, the entrepreneur or businessman has much to be thankful for. Yet, it is important to realize that for many decades, the Chinese viewed themselves as also-rans on the world scene, a terrible embarrassment for a nation that valued its historical past as a great world power. Despite China's past glories, the nation had for many centuries been held back by a series of weak governments and misguided efforts. China was constantly finding itself dominated by the Americans or the British. Then, the Communist Revolution began, and suddenly, millions of Chinese began to have a sense of pride in their own government, which they had lacked before. Today, even the Chinese have recognized that communism is not the answer. China's senior leader, Xi Jinping, now talks of the two 100s, the goal of making the nation's entire vast population moderately well off by 2020, the 100th anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party, and the goal of making China a fully modernized and developed nation by 2049, the 100th anniversary of the People's Republic of China. As China expert Robert Lawrence Kuhn puts it, Xi's vision of the Chinese dream has four parts. 1. Strong China economically, politically, diplomatically, scientifically, militarily. Civilized China, that is equity and fairness, rich culture, high morals. Harmonious China, that is amity among social classes. And beautiful China, healthy environment, low pollution. Xi Jinping's Chinese Dream, New York Times, June 4, 2013. From farms to cities. One striking example of this fervent desire for modernization is the plan for Chinese leaders to move 250 million Chinese citizens from their ancestral farmlands into new urban residences, where they will work in offices or factories instead of on the land. Quote, the government, often by fiat, is replacing small rural homes with high-rises, paving over vast swaths of farmland, and drastically altering the lives of rural dwellers. So large is the scale that the number of brand new Chinese city dwellers will approach the total urban population of the United States in a country already bursting with megacities. This is quoted from China's Grape Uprooting, New York Times, June 15, 2013. By 2025, the plan is to have 70% of China's population, that is about 900 million men, women, and children, living in cities. As the New York Times reports, quote, this will decisively change the character of China, where the Communist Party insisted for decades that most peasants, even those working in cities, remain tied to their tiny plots of land to ensure political and economic stability. Now the party has shifted priorities, mainly to find a new source of growth for a slowing economy that depends increasingly on the consuming class of city dwellers. That's quoted from the same article. It would be hard to overstate what a drastic change this will be for China and its people. Chinese communism, practically from the beginning, differed in one dramatic way from Orthodox Marxism, which looked to the industrialized working class as the bulwark of revolution. By contrast, Chinese communism gave a special emphasis to peasant farmers as the main populist force that was expected under Mao Zedong's thought to foment and support the revolution against capitalism that would lead the Chinese nation towards socialism and communism. At a time when millions in the United States are worrying about their own nation's loss of prosperity and traditional values, and its seeming move away from personal liberties, long taken for granted, as seen in the revelation of National Security Agency recording of personal phone conversations, it is easy to understand why many around the world are sensing a coming shift in global superpower dynamics. Will an urbanized, economically powerful China become the world's leading superpower, just as the United States loses its long-held positions of economic power and moral leadership around the world? Where will all this lead? What is truly going to happen? What does the inspired Word of God indicate? Another view from God's Word. In several places in your Bible, God clearly indicates that He is in charge of all major world events. In the book of Daniel, we read that ancient King Nebuchadnezzar was driven out of power for 7 years and made to eat grass like oxen in order to teach him a lesson. What was that lesson? God answers, quote, seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He chooses. Daniel chapter 4, verse 32. Even most professing Christians do not understand the reality of God's ultimate authority and how real God is. But in this generation, they will begin to understand, since God is beginning to intervene powerfully in human affairs as never before. Again, the inspired Word of God tells us, quote, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. Quoted from Psalm 33, verses 10 and 11. Although China is becoming, and will increasingly continue to become, one of the most powerful and influential nations in the world, your Bible clearly reveals that it will not become the major threat to America, and our 21st century will not be China's century. Rather, God's inspired word tells us that a powerful empire will arise in Europe, one that will, in fact, dominate the entire earth in economic and trading matters. And if we let the Bible interpret the Bible, we do not need to guess who this power is or where it might arise. For as nearly all Bible students know, Almighty God revealed through Daniel a series of four kingdoms that would arise on the world scene. Interpreting King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Daniel prophesied, you can see this in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, the following. A head of gold, symbolizing the Babylonian Empire that fell in 539 BC. The chest and arms of silver, symbolizing the Medo-Persian Empire, 558 through 330 BC. The belly and the thighs of bronze, symbolizing the Hellenistic Empire established by Alexander the Great in 333 through 31 BC. And two legs of iron, symbolizing the Roman Empire with 10 toes on feet of iron mixed with clay, symbolizing the Roman Empire and its final revival with 10 national rulers united under a single leader, established in 31 BC. The final world-dominating revival of the Roman Empire will be relatively short-lived and will be uprooted by a fifth kingdom that will be the literal government of God under Jesus Christ, Daniel chapter 2, verses 36 through 45. Describing that fifth kingdom, God's word tells us that in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Verse 44. This final powerful empire is not a Chinese empire, but how can it be a Roman empire when we know the Roman Empire fell in 476 AD? Remember that although Rome's empire was felled by a deadly wound in 476 AD, successive emperors have in effect revived it for brief periods. The first was Justinian in 554 AD, followed by the Carolingian Empire of the famous Charlemagne, crowned in 800 AD. Then, the Holy Roman Empire, the Habsburg Dynasty, and the Empire of Napoleon. In the 20th century, Benito Mussolini and Adolf Hitler made a brief attempt to revive the empire through the Axis powers. This is the empire the world will see rise once more at the very end of this present age. The Apostle John further describes this empire. Quote, "So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?' And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation." Revelation chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. This empire was a very powerful empire, which under the influence of the papacy, horribly persecuted the true saints of God and virtually stamped out the Church of God during the Dark Ages. Deceptive religious power. But then, in his inspired vision, John sees, quote, "another beast coming up out of the earth," verse 11. This beast looked like a lamb, as Jesus Christ is described as a lamb throughout the Bible. And yet this beast spoke like a dragon. And the term dragon is used throughout this very book, the book of Revelation, to denote Satan, the devil, quote, "who deceives the whole world," Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. The second beast, described in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 18, is clearly a great religious power that deceives all mankind. This power will also perform awesome miracles at the end of this age. Quote, "He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived," verses 13 and 14. The beginnings of this religio-political power are now occurring on the European continent. This power will appear, quote, to do good at first, but will ultimately take over the religious, financial, and political reins of power in the Western world. And its dominance in trade and finances will even extend all over the earth. Revelation chapter 18 describes this power as a modern, quote, Babylon. For God's word states, quote, For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Quoted from Revelation chapter 18 and verse 3. But finally, God describes the downfall of this system, when the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. This is, you can find in verse 11. As God's word states, quote, For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who traveled by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What is like this great city? Verses 17 and 18. So, this mightiest political, military, and trading power on earth will be found at the time of the end, a power dominated and heavily influenced by a false religious system, quote, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth, verse 24. Whose century will it be? No, our 21st century will ultimately not be the century of China that many political and economic forecasters are expecting. And despite Europe's brief ascendancy in the years just ahead, neither will it be the century of Europe. For the Word of God makes it clear, Jesus Christ will soon return, making this the century of Jesus Christ. Right after describing the total destruction of the final, quote, beast empire, God's Word tells us, quote, After these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Quoted from Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1. And in verse 11, God tells us through John, quote, Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Quoted from verses 11 through 16. The coming king. So where will it all end? It will end with the soon coming return of the King of Kings, the supreme monarch Jesus Christ, who will descend from heaven in magnificent glory. Then the last trumpet will sound, and angelic voices proclaim, quote, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Throughout the Bible, God gives us clear indications that we should watch, quote, for the fulfillment of his inspired prophecies. For he, and he alone, knows the end from the beginning. No Chinese naval force figures in Scripture's end-time prophetic panorama, but could a 200-million-man land force from the east, Revelation chapter 9 and verse 16, be amassed without a China? Knowing Bible prophecy allows us to watch China's buildup with information the world's political pundits do not have. While the world keeps its eyes on China, students of God's Word will know that the real action takes place in Europe and the Middle East. 10 nations or groups of nations will coalesce under a supreme dictator. Your Bible calls the beast. A king of the south, from south of Jerusalem, an area where we find the Arab Muslim nations, will lead its forces into a dramatic conflict with this European beast power and usher in the final end time sequence of wars that will culminate in the return of Jesus Christ. Yes, this will take a number of years to come to pass fully, but while we wait and watch, we need to remain alert to the great purpose Almighty God is working out here below, teaching human beings that our ways do not bring peace, that the human race is not capable of governing itself, that a spirit-led world government under Jesus Christ is the only solution to the horrifying anguish and suffering that is increasingly affecting every nation on earth. Truly, each of us must heartfeltly and urgently obey Jesus Christ's command to, quote, "Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man," quoted from Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. End of article. May we suggest prophecy fulfilled, God's hand in world affairs. Events in Europe are building to an end-time climax predicted millennia ago. Request a free printed copy from the regional office nearest you or order at tomorrowsworld.org. PDF, EPUB, and Kindle are also available.